Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of CPA Practice Advisor, coming to you with episode 50 of Tech2Go. I'm here today with my regular co-host, Randy Johnston, who's a principal with K2 Enterprises, as well as NMGI, Network Management Group, out of Kansas. So welcome today, Randy.
Good day, Darren, and welcome to all of our listeners. It's a pleasure to spend some time with you again today.
Well, Randy, you and I just had an opportunity to spend a couple of days out at the Practitioner Symposium in Las Vegas at the Aria Hotel. What a fantastic event.
You know, I was amazed. The attendee count this year was around 1,100 reported, and I'll have to tell you that both of us know Doug Sleater, and Doug still walks up to me and says, "Can you believe how big that keynote room was and how many people were in there?" He said, "I couldn't even hardly see you from the back of the room."
Yeah, it really was. I was in there yesterday listening to Paul Stalin yesterday morning, the chairman of the AICPA this year, and yeah, I couldn't even hardly see Paul on the stage. What a great room.
Yeah, and as it turns out, you know, that's not to say that you didn't have the opportunity to be up close and personal with a lot of people. All of the significant suppliers to the industry were in the exhibit hall, and the announcement, of course, was made at the event that they're going to blend the marketing group in next year. So this is probably going to be a 1,500-person event, probably one of the go-to events in the coming year of 2012.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. So, well, Randy, today I have a topic that seems to be on the top of everybody's mind that I'm talking to this year. I'm sure you're probably dealing with it a little bit too. It's this idea that, you know, we keep hearing all this buzz about the cloud. You know, I need to move my firm to the cloud. I need to move my clients to the cloud. And, you know, so many firms really just don't understand how to even go about thinking about these decisions. And I think moving some client data to the cloud is one decision. But I want to talk today more clearly about whether I should move my firm to the cloud. Okay? And let me position this in at least four different options that I see that I have. And I'd like for you, Randy, to kind of help me talk through those and see if we're on the right track. Okay, so I look at one option that I have, and as I've mentioned before, I had Network Management Group come in and set up our network, and we kind of created what I want to call our private cloud in our firm. And I call it my private cloud because the servers are still on premise. You know, they're backed up to the cloud via Network Management Group. I have access to everything inside my four walls here from anywhere in the world anytime. So from my perspective, I've developed my own private cloud. Okay? So then I look at option two. I could go to a vendor sort of hosted cloud. So I'll use Thomson Reuters or a CCH as an example. Thomson has their virtual office offering where I can take and I can put my data there and run their applications, or I could do the same thing with CCH. So I'm going to call that sort of a virtual office cloud, vendor cloud type of offering. I guess I look at another option as being I could go to more of a Switzerland type offering where I find a vendor like an Accenture or a CPASP or some of these other players in the marketplace at Cloud9 where I could go, they are not selling me software, they're just selling me the hosting services, if you will. Is that the three main ways of looking at, well, I'm going to position one more, Randy, before I ask you that. I guess a fourth way is to take maybe my servers here and put them in a managed environment, an environment that provides me greater potential uptime, backup capabilities, generators, things like that. Cover the four basic ones, you think?
I think so, Darren. And here at the conference this year and at many other events, there's been this question and concern, what can we do? part of it is to allow team members to work from client sites or from their homes. Part of it is to not be spending money and time on non-strategic IT management when it can be done another way. Part of the issue is reliability, just like your data center example, where we can put these servers where they're protected with generators and extra communication lines. Part of it is, unfortunately, identity theft issues, because we're seeing an alarmingly high incidence of smash and grab, where thefts, where CPA firms are being broken into even when they have their alarm systems on, and criminals are taking the equipment for identity theft purposes and taking the hard drives out of the equipment and dumping the equipment. And this has been happening very frequently here in the 2011 timeframe. In fact, I had just read earlier this morning from, of all places, the United Kingdom Mail Citigroup theft, where the report there was that there, in 2008 alone, there were 360 million stolen personal records, compared to 3.8. So 360 wow. stolen in 2010 versus 3.8 million in 2008. And what we know is happening in the CPA firms who are targeted here in the U.S. market is that the bad guys are getting a few dollars for each identity, unless the business or individual has a depository account in excess of $80,000, then they get a $400 bonus for the theft. So, I don't want to go too far down that path, but you can imagine here that even though you think you've done all the right things in your firm with the alarm system and so forth, there's still some risk that way, not to mention the technical risks of firewalls, where my number one hardware recommendation this year that's required, I think, whether you are in the cloud, in one of those many offerings, or keeping everything in-house in more of a do-it-yourself private cloud approach, you need to replace your firewalls with next-generation firewalls to protect, because the attacks are so aggressive. So as we filter these down, though, first off, to me, it's more of a strategic decision, and then to a lesser degree, it's a bit of a financial decision, because, the strategic piece is, what all do we need to be able to do? What are our limits, or what are the benefits to going to these different methodologies? And then, if the benefits are and capabilities are roughly equivalent, what then are the costs? And so each of those four different methods that you have laid out for our listeners today, they really have different benefits and different costs and different capabilities. I wish they all had similar capabilities and costs, but unfortunately that's just not the case right now.
Well, let's peel back the first one and look at some of the pros and cons of developing our own private cloud, because that's probably the least amount of change for a firm who's looking to move to the cloud, is really just to make sure they build their own private cloud. So from a pro side of that, I guess I would see little necessarily change up front. I still have complete flexibility to add applications that come along to my own private cloud, because I'm in control of that. Cons, I guess, from my perspective, is I'm still managing IT potentially internally to a degree. The smash and grab. What do you see pros and cons of that?
Well, at the risk of not being able to think everything so clearly, because we're so used to doing it this way, I think all the things you just named are true. Because I've just completed recently the review of Intuit's self-hosting document, where CPA firms can host currently up to 400 users or 200 businesses on their own equipment. That can be an advantage compared to many of the QuickBooks authorized hosting companies out there. You probably have already got an investment in a lot of the infrastructure that's needed, but if you do it yourself like that and you're going to host for clients, or you're going to make your system available for your own employees, You have to think about the reliability, the cost of being down, and that really drives you to decisions like having two communication lines, perhaps a DSL line and a cable modem line. It leads you to discussions about how do we keep the power up. And I've had a number of CPA firms this year invest in generators. Most of them were a little larger, but I've had a six-person firm buy a generator for their office this year. The UPS batteries have to be held up. But maybe equally as complex on this is so many of the IT companies around the country don't understand how to make all of our CPA firm applications work together well. Sometimes it's difficult for you to get the experience that you might want, whether you're a Thompson shop or a CCH shop or an Intuit shop or whatever, because they can't make all of these applications work together well.
You're saying firms that have developed their own private cloud are having a hard time getting the applications to work well, or firms that are looking to move it out?
So sometimes the ones that are keeping it in-house are having trouble making it work well.
Got it.
And that's actually a bit of a consternation. So I guess for our listeners, what I'd like them to know is when the major vendors' applications are installed right, they do work reliably and well. Now, are they the exact experience we always want? Maybe not. But it can be that these products really work reliably, and we still find firms that are having trouble with performance issues with many different applications in their own environment. So if we can get it installed right, we can make an in-house network feel like it's completely hosted, completely taken care of, because the experience can be such that you really never ever seem to do anything with your own IT or internal people, because outsiders have installed it properly and outsiders can make that run. And in the IT industry right now, that's called managed services. So if you're a little larger shop listening to our podcast today, you may have one IT person on staff, and you might be at the position that you think you need a second one. And I'm going to suggest to you that outsourcing or out-tasking the routine, mundane, day-to-day things like managing firewalls and patches and so forth, that can be done pretty well from afar today with technical tools, and that lets your IT person focus on things like training and executing high-value projects.
It sounds to me, Randy, if I'm hearing you right, if you pick the option that you want to develop your own private cloud, then you ought to probably talk to somebody who can help you think through this managed service component and take some of that burden off of maybe the owner of the firm in a small firm, or from the local IT guy that may not have enough experience with the applications that we're dealing with. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think that really is the right positioning on that, because I would much rather have our listeners practice accounting than practice technology. I think they can make more money. I think they can provide better client service, and I think they can keep from getting distracted so much. But the tools have to work right for the practice to run smoothly, not only for the accountants involved, but all of the other associated staff as well.
Okay. So But I guess what I want to leave our listeners with on that topic is you can create your own private cloud. That is an option where you have access anytime, anywhere. And that is one thing that a firm absolutely can do.
It absolutely can be done. And when we run the cost numbers, sometimes that's a less expensive option. And you can make it just about as secure as the data centers and so on. So not to think that you have to go to the cloud, because you can absolutely create your own private cloud experience using a lot of traditional technologies.
And from a flexibility standpoint, I guess from my perspective, I would rate that the highest on the flexibility barometer, because you can essentially do whatever you want because it's still all inside, right?
That is absolutely one of the keys right now, is you've got choices that you can make, and you can make the choices more rapidly. Further, you have the ability to maybe experiment, because some of the other sources won't let you try a new application or won't let you add an additional thing, or maybe they will continue to charge you even though you want to remove a particular item and so forth. So there, you've got more flexibility, more maneuverability in this private cloud approach.
All right. So let's step up another level, and these are not in levels, so let's just go across to the right a little bit. Let's look at the hosted solutions by vendors. You know, a Thomson, a CCH, and you can probably name some others that are out there. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So now in this approach, we'll start with the Thomson Virtual Office because that offering is very successful, and with the repricing strategy of that in the past year, very small firms can be quite effective with this. For a given fee per user, you get access to either all the applications or, for a slightly less fee, a limited set of the applications. But all of the needs, the servers and the applications themselves, are all there, including Microsoft Office. So you have the ability to have all of the applications updated, so there's no patching or maintenance, and the ability to work from anywhere. So Thomson's been very successful with their offering, which is built upon Citrix and their suite. CCH is doing the same thing with the next-gen suite in their Texas data centers. And as they look at their offering, again, it's all of the CCH platform plus Microsoft Office. But a couple of limitations to this approach is the ability to add a third-party product, or if you are not using all the products from that vendor, let's just say you are using a different document management system, you can't work in their environment because the other vendor's products are not supported.
So you kind of need to be an all-in approach for that suite of software, maybe.
Yeah.
And you may not be able to get away from having a server still on-premise for other applications that your staff may find necessary. Is that fair?
That's still fair. And in fact, the chief technology of Hewlett-Packard says that for the corporate America clients, they foresee a hybrid cloud, in other words, a mix of in-house, traditional on-premises, or as we might refer to it today, private cloud type of approach, with public cloud offerings. And if you think about it from all the other applications that you use, and I'm going to pick a name like T-Value, these types of utilities, you're not going to get those installed in the cloud or in these vendor-centric offerings simply because they don't want to, mess up their data centers, might be a way to say it. So, yeah, all of a sudden now we still have to maintain our internal networks, our internal infrastructure, and we lose some of the value proposition for being in the cloud. Now, I know, Darren, historically you and I have the same bias in this. We prefer firms to be all in, all Thomson, all CCH.
Yeah.
And soon we'll have offerings that will allow us to be all in with Intuit based on their strategies. So, that's a pretty good strategy. There's promise of integration, and there is actually integration there that is helpful to the firms. However, there's still specialty areas that you might work on, and let's just pick on QuickBooks for bookkeeping and write-up, or let's pick a wealth management product, or let's pick litigation support, or whatever your specialty area might be, and that still may not be supported in that all-in-one suite offering, so you're still going to wind up with some third-party additional tools to run your practice.
The other challenge, I think, Randy, that I'm running into in those environments is, there's an application that you want to have that is capable of integrating, let's say, with a CCH product or a Thomson product. And so I'll pick UltraTax as an example. So there's a product capable of communicating with that, but now since the vendor doesn't host that app and you actually have it in your on-premise, the communication becomes more of a challenge between the two apps because of the two different environments. Are you running into that?
Yes, very frequently running into that. And so, number one, I'll just use the word finger pointing. You get some of that type of issue. Number two, you have issues with integration. I will tell you from our own NMGI experience, it took my team years to get comfortable with approximately 75 different products that I asked the team to support on a regular basis, because we're supporting all the CCH, all the Thompson, all the Intuit, and I'll use other names like Drake or Redgear or SurePrep or Docket. And again, I'm not going to try to drop all the names of the industry, but when we looked at what we considered the top 75 or so products, I really wanted our team to be in a position to support what our CPA firm clients were saying, this is what we want to do. And if that was the case, notice that now if I've got to integrate, let's say, Docket as the document management system, my needs in CCH or in Thompson or in Intuit really become different. And what technically works is also one more layer of complexity in all this.
So I guess that takes me to the next level. And again, I don't want these to seem like levels because I think they're just different choices. Where I maybe go to an eccentric type of provider, CPASP, to name a few, Cloud9, where I'm going to, they're not really just hosting their own vendor software plus Microsoft Office. They're willing to host about anything. So talk a little bit about why I might not want to go there or would want to go there. I think we dropped Randy a second. He'll be back on here. Looks like we lost his connection, but he'll be back on. So while I'm waiting on Randy, I think what I'm going to do is just talk a little bit about that. So what we see now with more of this Switzerland approach of hosting, and I'll take Accenture as an example. They're out of Alpharetta, Georgia, and they could host the entire Thompson or CCH suite of products, and in that you can add other applications to that, which allows them to more closely align. So in some cases it will solve the problem of that integration piece that Randy and I were just talking about, the problem where data or programs exist in two different clouds, like in your private cloud, your own office on your own server, and then the public cloud. Oftentimes, you pay a bit of a premium for this type of service. So that, you know, sometimes prices themselves a little high in the marketplace. But if your goal is to move completely to the cloud, and try not to have any internal servers, and still have data with the capabilities of talking to each other, then this may be an option for you to look at in that particular respect. The last point I think I'm going to make as far as options go is this idea where you really do a completely outsourced managed service approach, where maybe I take all of my IT infrastructure, and so I have my servers that are currently sitting in my server room, and I want to take them to a data center and have them managed by professionals outside of my office. So really what I'm doing is remoting to my servers in a managed environment. This can be appealing as well. You know, since Randy's not on right now, I'll mention that, Randy will get back on here in just a second. Randy, are you back with us?
Sorry to have that.
No problem. So, Randy, as you dropped off, I was actually talking about the next level up, which is the eccentric, I'll say, type approach, where we talked about some of the challenges in the last model, the Thompson CCH model, being that you may have to maintain still an on-premise server, and then there were some communication possible challenges between the two different servers. servers depending on which apps you used.
Yeah.
So if you go to more of the Switzerland type approach, where they're really not product specific, you can probably overcome some of those challenges. Was I right in saying so?
You were right in saying so, and because you and I are both familiar with many of these, and I have clients on all of the services that we will talk about, including by name Excentric, or CPA ASP NSYNC, or Cloud9 Real-Time, or Real-Time Data Services, and in my opinion, those are probably your top four Switzerland-type hosters right now, because they can basically take all of the applications. However, they don't really take everything in most cases, but they will at least entertain the idea that you want to add an additional product and see if they can test it and work it into their mix. So probably the most flexible of the group on that is Real-Time Data Services. Probably the group with the most broad spread application support is the CPA ASP group. Probably the group that has the longest history, if you will, is the Excentric group, because they started with a lot of CPA firm entry piece. They're very Citrix-centric, and they don't have quite as broad a spread on the applications as some of the other competitors. And then Cloud9, probably a newer, but I think probably one of the faster growing and flexible groups. So all four have their positioning. Now, from a strategy perspective, it works very well because you say, look, I want these services, these applications, and they come back and say, okay, here's how much, and we'll install these and take care of it all for you. The pricing on this, just to give our listeners a flavor and not to quote prices for these vendors, is a blend of server resources needed, the number of users that you're going to have, and any special features you might want, like enabling your mobile phones. We have seen, unfortunately, at times, though, experiences with CPA firms where we just weren't quite getting the performance that should happen. So, you know, you could have a location that maybe had intermittent performance issues, and it just didn't quite work out. And again, I don't want to make any of these four companies sound like they're at fault, because I think it's a broader internet performance problems, but it does lead us to think about, why are we having this?
Now, sure.
At the risk of not making people comfortable in this area, we've seen situations where certain applications seem to be problematic. And these are large-scale, well-run organizations, but we've got a little bit of trouble of managing, whether with the big publishers like CCH and Thomson or with the Switzerland type of approach, because at times things happen in the data center and it just takes a little while to figure things out. I think in most cases they do get things figured out, but you've got to be prepared for some of those types of inconveniences.
You know, some of the things that I've heard from different users and even from some of the vendors, you're probably paying a little bit of a premium for this type of a service, maybe over some of the other two models that we've talked about. Would that be fair?
That would be fair based on most of the quotes that I've seen here in 2011. You've got this nice turnkey piece, and you're paying for some experience and some other issues. So, yes, I think that's probably true. And if we just say for a moment that for our planning purposes, we're going to spend about $100 a user in this approach, that gives you a sense of what it is per month. And so, you know, a 10-person firm, $1,000, $12,000 a year, 5-year life, $60,000, compared to, you know, buying the servers and maintaining the servers and so forth, you might be money ahead, you might be money behind.
Sure. The other challenge that I've heard on occasion to the last two models that we've talked about, sort of that vendor-hosted solution or even this the Switzerland approach, is on occasion there's some challenges with multiple monitor display. I mean, if you want to go three or four monitors, you lose some of that flexibility. Do you see that still to be the case?
It is absolutely still the case. you know, getting up into the three monitors is really a big challenge for many of these groups. Two is better than it used to be. And none of the big vendors that I'm aware of, none of the ones that we're talking about here, actually do a clean job of supporting four monitors today. Not that I necessarily want our listeners to be on four, but I actually talked to a practitioner here in Vegas yesterday who's currently running seven monitors, and he showed me the picture.
Wow.
And he had a reason for each monitor, and he said he would go with no less today based on his setup. Some of the hosting vendors for QuickBooks, and I'll pick on a vendor like Awenza by name, are doing a wonderful job of doing how many of her monitors Windows can support. So you can wind up with a 4 or a 6 or an 8 monitor experience in their hosting environment, but they, you know, unfortunately are not Switzerland enough. They can take all your applications. They can only take QuickBooks and Microsoft Office. So there's limitations to that. Another shortfall besides the monitors, unfortunately, is even something that's pretty simple to take to the cloud, like email hosting. In fact, two things that I think are almost always a shoe-in for hosting are email and backup. We've actually had issues reported where email is delayed in delivery into the firm and might arrive on your smartphone 15 to 20 minutes before it arrives in your office. Well, those are technically complex issues to fight through, and you know, it can be a bit of an issue if you're trying to do something back and forth in rapid succession in email that, you know, if your email's not showing up on your desk for, in some cases, unfortunately, a few hours, not just 15 or 20 minutes, that can be a real problem to just being able to perform good client service.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, for the sake of time, I want to talk about our last option. So we talked about some managed services inside your own private cloud, inside your firm, you know, and outsourcing some of those managed services. I want to look at this from a different perspective. I want to look at taking my servers here in my office and just say, you know, what I'm really trying to solve for is I want to solve for this, excuse me, this smash and grab sort of risk, if you will, not having a generator at my office sort of risk. But I still like, I still have good servers. I like that idea. I want to take and I want to plop those in a server, a managed server environment. And I'm just going to pick on your company, Randy, in Network Management Group. I could take my servers, plop them into an environment like that, and they would manage them for me. Talk to me just a little bit about that.
Well, there's two strategies that are being done. One I agree with, one I don't agree with in the open market. One is that major data centers have rack space where you can move your servers in, and they have all the security systems and the redundant communication lines and the power generators, gasoline and natural gas fired and so forth, diesel fired. They're wonderful data centers, and they usually charge you something for the space, and the rates around the country run from about $400 to $1,500 per rack. Most of them are closer to $1,500 most of the time. But it gets you all of the fundamental protection and infrastructure. Others are trying to do this in the back rooms of their small offices, maybe don't have all of the facilities they should have with generators, maybe don't have all the redundancy they should have with the communication and lines and so forth. But they're good, smart local IT people. They're doing a pretty good job. They'll give you more personal attention. They probably have enough security in place. So both methods work, just not quite as much in favor of the second approach. But there's some restrictions sometimes that happen. For example, the Intuit self-hosting license excludes you from being able to self-host your QuickBooks if you make this type of move. So it's not a technical decision, but a licensing decision, and we always want all our listeners to be legal on their licenses. So there is some advantage to this methodology. There's a little bit of cost and not too many detractions from doing it this way if your situation can apply and it works for you.
So really those are our four that I can think of, Randy, options that a firm might look at today. And the one takeaway I have as a firm owner from this is there's no clear choice here for me. There's no silver bullet that says this is the way I should go. Am I looking at that right?
Yes, Darren, I think you've got that spot on. The marketers will try to tell you there's a clear choice. And I think I understand the options pretty well from a technical perspective, and I think I understand them fairly well from a business perspective. And in reverse, I think you understand them excellently from a business perspective and fairly well from a technical perspective. And I really concluded there's not a clear choice. Now, I will offer to our listeners and am happy to provide a model where I try to do the costing to figure out what makes sense. And it really works so you can see traditional in-house networking, virtualization, in the cloud, and so forth. And it's a rather detailed technical assessment of what's going on from a cost perspective. But in that particular model, the net result in most cases is it's definitely cheaper to virtualize rather than do traditional networking in-house. And it's about a wash on in the cloud versus, you know, public cloud versus private cloud. And it's a little more expensive to be hybrid cloud. So when you're kind of half in, half out, because now you're managing two environments. But, you know, the dollars are not significantly apart. At least we're not seeing that in most of the models. But it is very user-dependent. It is very application-dependent. And it is, based on what you're trying to do, strategically, the way you work with all this setup can be quite different, too.
I had a, just to kind of wrap this up, I had a phone call, I think, last week from a practitioner, CPA, in Cleveland. And he said, I just wanted to call you because somebody had suggested that he give me a call and ask you, should we move our firms to a vendor-specific cloud? What's your take, is what he asked me. And I said, well, my take is that is not a yes or no answer. My take is you have to sit back and figure out where you want to be as a firm. What do you want to accomplish? What are we trying to do here? What applications are you using? So try to lay out all the challenges and the things for the CPA to think about. And it was a firm of about 15. So I guess my point in this, and Randy, what I end up having the gentleman do is I gave him your phone number and email address and said, I think you need somebody to think through this with you. And here's the guy I think would be great at this. But I said, I think our practitioners can't go into this decision lightly. There's a bigger framework in which we need to be thinking about this. Did I give him the right advice?
Well, Darren, I hope so, and I hope that he will contact me directly. And I'll give you a closure story from my side as well, because I've had the good fortune of consulting in three. And all three were about a dozen people in size. So probably in the main target demographic that we're talking about. The first firm, I advised to go to the Thompson Virtual Office. The second firm, I advised that they use CPA ASP. The third firm, I advised that they built their own private cloud. And the reason for each of those answers was we went through all of their different applications, their business strategies, and I said, based on where you're at and where you tell me you want to go in the next 3 to 5 years, and the dollars, and here's your answer. And that's just the way those three came out. So
yep.
I do believe it is much more individualistic, and it is a business strategy discussion followed by an IT strategy discussion before you can make a tactical decision.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Randy, because, you know, as you know, I talk to you about this all the time. You know, I think about this from my firm's perspective, and I don't think it's clear. And, you know, my needs are constantly changing, and my strategy is evolving all the time, and technology is evolving. So I guess, Randy, great discussion today. I think firms will find this very helpful, hopefully.
Well, I hope they do. And, again, not really trying to fish for work, but I'm happy to send the models if somebody wants to email and ask about this. You know, we'll give the best advice we can in terms of all the different strategies, because the bottom line is I'd like our listeners to be able to service clients the way they want and have the type of business that they want to run as a firm, and so they can have the best lifestyle possible in the whole process. If we get that done, it's been a great call, and it would be great for you to contact.
Randy, thanks so much for your time. I know you're still out of practitioners, so hope you have finished that up well and off to your next conference.
Thank you so much, and we hope wish greatest success to all our listeners, and we'll keep you informed on the things we see happening in the practice of accounting and technology.
Thanks for our listeners today, and look forward to talking to you again next month. Thanks, Randy.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.